Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
What disturbs me about that is I've been to Mike's house a bunch of times, and I feel like if you got bats in your attic, you've got a moral obligation to let your house guests know you've got bats in your attic. Then again, we're just house guests today. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mom and Dad are out. They're out meandering about town, so they have left the house instead. To me, Jason Fitz, hanging out with Matt Jones. We're going to be here throughout the duration of the show. You can tweet us at Jason Fitz, at KY Sports Radio. And we've got a lot of football we're going to continue to get into throughout the course of the day as we take a look at training camps. We've had some college football discussion. But there is basketball going on in the form of Summer League. Now, before anybody rolls their eyes, I was just thinking about Summer League versus preseason. Like, it's amazing how we get super excited about preseason football, at least I do. Like, everybody says it stinks until their favorite team's playing, and you know you're going to watch at least the first half and then justify why your favorite team's going to be great because of it. College football fans flock to the spring game that means absolutely nothing just to see, you know, the green take on the white or whatever it may be in that iteration in college football. So in the Summer League, you have a bunch of young players that everybody's getting to know them. This is the opportunity for players to really step up, stand out, and show the world who they are. One of the players doing that is Jalen Suggs, scored 24 points in the Summer League opener for Orlando. And it has me really looking at this, Matt, saying, have we undervalued how good? Because it's not just Suggs that's played well. Really, the top of the draft has played well. And I know it's a small sample size, but it's reason to get excited for yet another incoming young class of players into the NBA.
Well, first of all, I won't have anybody disparage the Summer League when there's NFL preseason football is like watching paint dry. And I love football, but it was 60. You saw that game the other night. It was 16-3. The people playing are not going to be playing football in a few weeks. So that's to me, it's a waste of time. But
do you have a favorite NFL team? Do you have an NFL
Chicago
team?
Yeah, the Chicago Bears, who I do want to see. I do want to see Justin Fields play. I mean, I do want to see him on the field. But with the NBA Summer League, the best people all play in it. You know, they may only play in it for a year, but everybody's playing in it at some point. And it's not just young guys. I mean, Portland Trailblazers, I watched them the other night. They start Michael Beasley and Kenneth Faried. I bet you didn't know those guys were still around. Well, they're around for the Portland Trailblazers team. But these five dudes, the top five picks, I've watched them all play. Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Jalen Suggs, Scotty Barnes, and Evan Mobley. And they've all looked good, all five of them. Now, history tells us they're not going to all five be good, but I'm not sure. I've watched the Summer League many times. I've been many times. I'm not sure I've ever seen the top five guys all ball out to start, all of them. All of them show. Like, normally you look at one and go, well, he's going to need some time, right? Not this time. They all look good, and I actually think Jalen Suggs looked the best. He got picked fifth. I'll tell you this. I know for a fact, I'll bet anybody, he's not going to stink. Now, one of these other guys is going to end up probably stinking. He will be good, and I think Orlando was very lucky to get him.
It's hard for me to find a way that Cade Cunningham doesn't turn out to at least be a decent
me
player.
Me either. Like, those are the two locks, in my opinion, those two guys.
Now, and I agree with you with Cade. Jalen Green, I think, has the chance to be very good. So if we're looking at who's going to turn around and regret the Suggs thing, then it starts to come and turn around and say, okay, how good is Evan Mobley going to be? How good is Scotty Barnes going to be? You know, that really becomes the question. Because if you're going to find a spot that you think maybe there's a step back, it feels like it'd be one of those two players that may not live up to expectations.
I think that's probably smart. I mean, I think when you're looking at sort of up like ceiling and floor, I think Jalen Green probably has the highest ceiling. He's got the potential to be the best. I think there's also a world in which Jalen Green is a dude who scores a lot and your team doesn't win. One of those kind of guys. And that doesn't necessarily help you in the long run. We'll have to see. I think the guy who's probably got the lowest floor is Evan Mobley, just because there's a world in which he just doesn't develop. He's really skinny. But he shows flashes of being really, really good. He's the modern player in terms of being big, but being able to shoot from outside. I really liked him in college. I think what's likely is all five of them end up at least decent. But there's no way that Jalen Suggs is the worst of the five. There's just not. And the fact that he went fifth, I think, was – you talk about lucking out. I mean, Orlando just sat there and got Suggs and Franz Wagner – and both those guys fell in their lap. They couldn't have thought they'd get either one of them. I think that in it, that's why for me they were the winners of the NBA draft, and the summer league is showing that.
Well, and I think when you talk about Suggs particularly, you can't find a flaw in his body of work. You can't find a flaw in anything that he was putting on tape coming into the draft. By the way, it's Chinay and Golic Jr., Jason Fitzmatt-Jones filling in for Chinay and Mike. And it's interesting, you know, because you obviously with Kentucky Sports Radio, you do a great job covering so many collegiate sports. I always make the argument with the Summer League in general that it's sort of a coming out party because it feels like a lot of NBA fans aren't really paying attention to Gonzaga, right? So they're not watching the Zags night in and night out. They're not watching Big 12 basketball night in and night out. And so this is the moment. There's a couple of elements. NBA fans are being introduced to it. NBA players, the big names, are going to these games because they're in Vegas. So it's a smart way to turn around and say, hey, you want the big names to be sitting courtside. They managed to make that happen. There's a hype around Summer League that, frankly, I'm not sure exists elsewhere. And then you've got players that are stepping in and saying, okay, I'm immediately part of who I can be as a pro, which is interesting because you're right. The NFL process takes a little bit more time to figure out. There's more variables. Here in the Summer League, you are seeing players come in and immediately know, okay, can Jalen Suggs play? And I even think back to when Ball came out and the Summer League Lakers team won a championship that we all know meant nothing, right? But there was still a moment of at least looking at a young core saying, hey, there are pieces that can be built around. Now, it turned out to take a different path and need different moments. But to that end, there seems to be more of a takeaway from the Summer League and Vegas than there has been probably in years past.
I think the Summer League often, if a guy struggles in the Summer League, that doesn't mean he'll struggle in the NBA. But if a guy plays well, it's a pretty good indicator. I'll give you two guys that when they came out, they were a lot better in the Summer League than people thought. One was Steph Curry. He came out and lit up the Summer League, and people were like, wait a minute, maybe this little guy can play, and he could. And then a couple years back, Devin Booker was picked a lot lower than people thought and had a huge Summer League. His team ended up winning the Summer League, and people didn't see that coming, and all of a sudden you saw what happened with Devin Booker. I attended one of the most exciting environments that I remember is I went to a Summer League game, John Wall's first game after he was the number one pick, and it was filled with stars. Like LeBron came, Durant came, everybody wanted to see him, and he went for like 25, and people, it was a very fun atmosphere. I always say, if you're an NBA fan, if you get a chance, go to the Summer League at some point. You will love it. You'll get closer to players than you can get in any other circumstance, and you will have a blast. If you are, it's like an NBA family reunion, and I think, but I do think it also tells you something about some of these guys. When I saw Jalen Suggs, I saw him and go, there's no way that guy fails. I think you'll see other dudes over the course of these next few days, you feel the same way.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. I think to your point, Matt, and it's a smart point made by you, a lot of times we come in with a, well, this guy's not quite big enough, or he doesn't have quite the wheels he needs. Like, whatever that one thing is that we're using is doubt. Sometimes you see that doubt immediately erased in the Summer League. And it's particularly when we see scrawny guys right now come in and play well, like we have seen over the last couple of years, it does sort of change the mindset of, oh, maybe we were wrong. Maybe this person can come in and actually be successful.
A kid who's already done that. Sharif Cooper from Auburn was picked in the second round by Atlanta. I could not understand why. I watched that kid in college. I thought he was a lottery pick. He's already come in his first two games and looked awesome. Sharif Cooper is going to be a really good NBA player. I didn't need the Summer League to know it, but if you did, just go watch because he's doing it right now.
All right, coming up next, how patient should the Giants be with getting Saquon back on the field? We'll answer that. Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. Basically, we're all over the place, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Matt Jones, I'm Jason Fitz. We're sitting in for Mom and Dad. They are out gallivanting around, getting a much needed and much well-deserved relaxation in. And in the meantime, we're getting you caught up on everything you need to know. Has all the management stuff turned the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare?
Yes, it has.
Well, you can take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. So, obviously, one of the more intriguing teams coming into this year are the Giants. Now, I'm going to start with my hot take here, because why not get it right out of the gate? I think the NFC East is going to be much better this year, much better. In fact, I believe the Washington football team with a very good defense has a chance to be looking at San Francisco saying, why not us? Like, why can't we build our roster the same way, put in a quarterback and that gives us at least moderate play and suddenly find ourselves in the playoff conversation? I think that's fair for the Washington football team. I think the Cowboys have every right to say, hey, we think that Jason Garrett was the problem and we got a new coaching staff in. That coaching staff was hamstrung by COVID and injuries and practice limitations and no starting quarterback for the majority of the year. Only went 6-10. Well, how many teams would do much better with that with their backup quarterback in that situation? So Cowboys fans can feel pretty good about the turnaround. So I'm looking at the Giants specifically saying, man, it's easy to fall in love with some of the pieces for the Giants, but you better get it worked out quickly because if they want to have a shot at the playoffs, this isn't about winning a bad division. I think this year it's about winning a very good one. In order to do that, the question is, how much Saquon do they need? I mean, in your mind, Matt, like, how conservative should they be with even getting him back on the field?
Well, first of all, I disagree with you that it's a very good division. I'm not sure any of the teams are very good. Dallas is okay, but we saw the problems last year. I think the Washington football team is my pick to win it. But I still say, I mean, Fitzpatrick is really good at getting you to a certain level, but I'm not sure if he's good at getting you to the next level. We'll have to see. The Giants, to me, are interesting, but, like, it's all going to depend on is Daniel Jones good or not, and we don't know. But with Saquon Barkley, I don't understand why teams feel such a rush to get guys out at a position where, let's just be real, he's going to get hurt at some point during this year. He just is. Running backs get hurt. I think the number is like 73% end up having to sit out a game during the season. And then you take somebody who's already injury prone, I bet that number becomes 90%. So if you know he's going to have to sit out at some point, okay, sits out week one. Like, that's not that big of a thing to ask. There's always this rush from teams to get everybody on the field for the first week as if they're not going to have injuries. They're going to have injuries all year. I'd rather have a healthy Barkley in week 5, 6, 7, 8 on than to worry about week one. But they can't wait too long because they have no chance of winning the division if he's not playing.
Well, I don't disagree with that, by the way. And, you know, realistically, I think schedule, we were talking earlier about Bama's schedule. Well, the early portion of the schedule for the Giants doesn't do them a lot of favors. I mean, they'll start with the Broncos team that, at least in theory, other than the quarterback position, has talent. And then they're going to have that Washington football team defense we talked about. They also have to play the Saints early on, the Cowboys early on, the Rams early on, the Chiefs early on. So the beginning of my beloved Raiders, I mean, that's a tough one.
But see, I look at that differently, though. My opinion is you ain't going to beat the Chiefs either way. So why are you trying to get somebody hurt during that game? Like, why don't you want to play him in the games that you can win? I've never understood the desire to get your best players out in a game you're not going to win anyway. Save it for the Washington, the Dallas, and the Philly games, because those are the ones that are going to matter for you.
Well, and I hear that point. I think the other part of it, though, is this is such a make-or-break year for Daniel Jones. I mean, in my mind, if Daniel Jones comes out and stinks this year, they're going to give up. Like, the time frame on quarterbacks is no longer what it used to be. I'm not sure Daniel Jones can be great if there's not at least the threat of a running game. Like, I look at that as one of the big parts of this. Like, Saquon being in at least forces Saquon to be respected, which makes Daniel Jones' job, in theory, a little bit easier. If you're the Giants, you're looking at it that saying, man, we got to get these question marks answered on the offensive line. We got to make sure that we're running the ball, because if we don't do those things, we don't have a chance with this young quarterback to make sure he develops.
Well, everybody has a different opinion. The question is, do you believe in Daniel Jones? Steve Young actually was on Greeny, and he said that he does.
Daniel Jones is playing enough, and he's going to get better. And with Saquon, he'll get a lot better because he's got the help. He's got the support. And so to me, I believe in Daniel Jones. I believe that with Saquon Barkley, he can get there faster. And I think as long as – and he needs to be on the run. He needs to be on the move. Right now, as a younger player, he needs to not want to – you know, everyone wants to sit in there and do what Tom Brady does. I admire what Drew Brees does or what Aaron Rodgers does. You know, that's great. But in the meantime, there's a lot of success to be had out there, free yards to go get with your legs. and grow into the position. And I encourage Daniel not try to be perfect. And that's that overwrought feeling that puts him in a bad spot. And then lean on Saquon. I'm a believer in Daniel Jones over time.
So when it comes to the question of if you believe in Daniel Jones, I believe he can be serviceable. I don't believe he can be great. And the problem to me is the Giants aren't good enough to win unless he's great. And I don't know if he can be great. I think he's almost like, I think we're going to be talking about him like we do Ryan Fitzpatrick in 10 years. We're like, well, Daniel Jones is on your team. That's okay. I think that's how he's going to end up being.
Isn't that, though, if I gave you and Steve Young truth serum based on serum, love that word, based on what we just heard from Steve Young, I don't think you guys are saying anything that different from one another, because Steve Young says, I believe in Daniel Jones as long as Saquon's really good and as long as he doesn't get in his own head and as long as he's out being mobile and as long as, like, you can't put that many qualifiers on a belief statement and then still have me buy in that you believe in somebody.
Well, but I don't think that's fair, because you said you believe in Ryan Fitzpatrick, but you only believe in him because the Washington defense is so good. Like, you don't believe in him. You don't believe he's one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, you can be decent and still win if everybody else is good. I think his top ceiling, Daniel Jones, is decent. I don't think it's great.
I don't believe in Fitzpatrick at a, like, oh my God, epic play. Like, Daniel Jones isn't playing for, you know, middle of the pack status. Daniel Jones is playing for something more than that. So we'll keep raging through this debate, but that's not the only quarterback we're talking about right now. Is Deshaun Watson is still all over the news. The question is, what should the Texans do with him? We'll answer that. But first, you have got a long list of DIY projects to tackle at home. Take a 5-hour energy shot so you can check everything off your list. 5-hour energy is the brand hardworking people like you have trusted for 17 years to keep them alert and energized during those hectic days. Go to 5hourenergy.com. Use the promo code GOLIC to get 10% off your order. That's the number 5hourenergy.com. Promo code GOLIC for 10% off. This offer cannot be used with other promotions. Code is not applicable on subscription orders. What kind of energy do the Texans have left with Deshaun Watson? We'll answer it next. Tanae and Golic Jr., Matt Jones and Jason Fitz filling in.
Tanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Tanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80. All of you
Let's
watching
not tell
on ESPN
anybody
Plus
that you,
just saw my sweet, sweet dance moves.
I guess there are people on ESPN Plus who can see this, but a lot of you can't. If you could have seen Jason dancing there, that was embarrassing. For a man that allegedly was part of a musical group in his past life, you'd get voted off on Dancing with the Stars quickly.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. But I am living proof that you can have great rhythm and not be a great dancer. Like, understanding how to break down rhythm doesn't mean that I can make my hips do those things that people that can dance can make their hips do.
That's true. Your hips don't lie. I'll give you that.
My hips don't even talk. My hips are like, I'm out. Oh, yeah. We got the music. All right. My God, I'm wasting so much time here that we could be used valuably.
Yeah, we got Adam Schefter on the phone. Stop blabbing and let him talk.
Shefty's sitting here thinking, Fitz, shut the heck up and get me on. So let's do it. Matt Jones, Jason Fitz in for Mike and Chinee, and we're going to head over to the Goodyear Hotline. Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL Insider, joins us. Check out the Adam Schefter podcast. Shefty, always appreciate you, man. We've been talking a little bit about Deshaun Watson today and what could happen, how they sort of proceed in this situation. So realistically, when you look at this whole thing, what do the Texans need to do? How do they handle this situation?
Well, it's a challenging situation and one that a lot of people are rightfully curious about, and which are no obvious answers right now, other than the fact that we've got a peculiar football situation unfolding at a time where Houston police and the NFL are investigating Deshaun Watson regarding, I think it's up to 22 civil lawsuits right now. And the Texans general manager, Nick Caserio, said today that he will not be traveling to Green Bay for the preseason opener. And we know that Deshaun Watson doesn't want to play there again. And it certainly seems like the Texans have moved on without him, but he's still there. And the question is, why is he still there? And so when you talk to people around the league, that the theories are that, obviously, we do know that teams are apprehensive about what to give up when there are investigations going on and we don't know what's going to come out of them, even though Deshaun Watson has maintained that he's done nothing here. Now, again, situation where those investigations will come out. We'll see what happens with them. And the Texans also have not really engaged teams. They've not given teams the chance to make offers. They have not said, give us your best offer, and we'll see if we'll consider it. That hasn't happened. They really kept the distance from teams. So even if there were a team that was willing to make an offer, the Texans aren't really willing to listen right now.
Adam, in Indianapolis, the reports are that Sam Ehlinger is now splitting quarterback reps with Jacob Eason. It's very rare for a sixth rounder to all of a sudden potentially start week one at quarterback. Could that happen for the Colts?
Back 1 week ago to when Carson Wentz had his foot surgery, a week ago yesterday, the plan at that time was that Jacob Eason was going to be the starter if Carson Wentz couldn't make it back. Now, 8 days later, Sam Ehlinger is splitting reps with Jacob Eason training camp. And I think that tells you all you need to know. He's in the thick of competition to take over the Colts' starting quarterback job if Carson Wentz can't make it back in time for opening day from his foot surgery. And again, the Colts think that Wentz is making progress right now, but they won't really know for a couple of weeks how well he is or isn't coming along. And so Sam Ehlinger had gone 10 straight practices until Sunday without throwing a single interception. Jacob Eason threw some interceptions. I think Jacob Eason obviously has great upside, but there were some mistakes. And Sam Ehlinger wasn't making many mistakes. Now, today, they gave Sam Ehlinger some reps with the first-team offense. And sure enough, Jacob Eason responded with his best practice to date so far. Looked better than he had the last week. And Sam Ehlinger looked pretty good, too, as he has all week long. So the fact that they're both taking reps with the first-team offense just tells you that it could be either quarterback if Wentz doesn't make it back in time.
If neither of them separates themselves, though, Adam, do the Colts continue to look at maybe options that aren't within the organization?
Again, they haven't said that. That wasn't the plan. The plan was to see how long it would be on Carson and what initially Jacob Eason could do. Now I think the plan is let's wait and see on Carson and let's see what Jacob Eason and Sam Ehlinger can do before we decide to break the glass in case of emergency and trade for a veteran quarterback.
Andy Dalton, obviously in a quarterback battle with Justin Fields. I'm a longtime Bears fan, and I think like a lot of Bears fans, I want to see Justin Fields play. That first week is on the road on Sunday night against the Rams, a weird spot to put a rookie quarterback in. Do you think that's at all considered as part of this? Because what a spot that would be for a person in their first start. And where do you think the quarterback battle in Chicago is right now?
Well, yeah, I think they factor in all those things. But I do think the Bears have maintained all along that Andy Dalton's their QB1 for now, that their plan is to go into the regular season with him as a starter. And I think that's the path that they continue to go down. But here's the thing. There are three preseason games. And what if Justin Fields goes out and lights it up the way that Russell Wilson did as a rookie third-round draft pick? If he can do that, now we start having that conversation. And I understand that Bears fans want to have it because they can't wait to see Justin Fields. But I just don't think that's the way the Bears are thinking right now. I think they're thinking Andy Dalton's our starting quarterback. That's the plan we have going into the season. And it's up to Justin Fields to even attempt to try to change their minds during the preseason. And I think that's asking a lot. Like, I think they plan absolutely to have Andy Dalton as their starting quarterback on opening day. But again, that's the interesting part of football, life, everything. Plans change, right? I mean, a week ago, as I said, or 2 weeks ago, the Bills and Josh Allen agreed to table all contract talks till after the season. So it could have been said at that point in time, and it would have been accurate at that moment, that Josh Allen and the Bills have agreed to table all contract talks the next season, and there will not be a new deal this season. And then there was. So that's what life is about. And that's the tricky part, you know, being a reporter, an analyst, whatever it may be, because you say these things because you're told these things, and then people change their minds.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at Adam Schefter. We're about to hit peak Schefty season. You'll see him all over everything. Adam, appreciate a little bit of time today. Thank you so much for hanging out. Hope you got a little bit of rest this summer, my friend.
Jason, Matt, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Always great stuff from Schefty, and he's right. Like, the toughest part about what we all do, and this is a first world problem, but I say this constantly, we're writing a book report every single chapter. And sometimes you got to write the book report after the second chapter, and you think it's great, and then it completely changes by the fourth or fifth chapter. That's one of the challenging things about trying to cover anything in sports, but particularly the NFL right now. All right, coming up, the U.S. women's volleyball team captured their first ever gold medal. We'll talk to the team captain next, Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Jason Fitz and Matt Jones filling in for Janae and Mike. You can tweet us at KY Sports Radio for him, at Jason Fitz for me. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you can get in on the fun. You guys can't see this because Matt, by the way, His bookcase behind him is not something that's on Plus right now, but it has the most books I've ever seen in my life, and it only reminds me of the differences between, like, he's a former attorney turned, you know, turned sports talk, and he's got books. I'm a former musician turned sports talk. I usually have Funko Pops. So, like, it shows you the difference in our intellectual value coming in straight away that, you know, he's got all the books. I've got all the cartoons, basically. Matt, that's where we...
If we were to go to the next room over here, I have another bookshelf almost as big as this one in terms of the thing is I own very few
books?
Things. I own very
You yeah, know they turn the good ones into movies.
Not full of books, full of just pictures of myself. No, I mean of books. Okay. And the I own very few things of substance, but I've put a lot into my books at a time that soon they'll be worth nothing because no one will have books, and then that will be, you know, I will have thrown it all away, but I still like it. It's a good conversation speech, you know, conversation starter, and it allows people when they see me to think I might be smart.
It says everything about who you hang out with. Like, you're very right. It's a great conversation starter. That's the same reason that I have, like, my wrestling figures from the 80s on my bookshelf at home, because it's a good conversation starter.
I have wrestling figures,
hey,
too. By the way, the latest book I have is Chris Jericho's new book. So I'm not saying all these books, they're not all the Brothers Karamazov. I mean, there's the biography of Jim Ross back here, too. So it's let's not act like they're all smart.
This is where I nod my head like I have any idea what the Brothers Karamazov is. All right. In the meantime, one thing I do know who Carmelo Anthony is, and we all know that he's a Laker. And what's interesting is that, you know, we want to put this together and make it all this perfect little seamless thing where now all of a sudden the Lakers have a big three, and it means they're going to be a dominant team in the West. And in fact, Carmelo was asked what the sales pitch was from LeBron on his discussions with LeBron, and this is what he said.
LeBron came to me one time and just said, yo, the time is now. Like, I want you. We got to make this happen. And, you know, I took that information and took that, you know, that dialogue and took my time with it and, you know, weighed all the options that I was weighing at that time. And, you know, I just felt like for right now, I think this was the best time.
I mean, are you buying all this, like, hype that we've got around LeBron, Carmelo, AD being this, like, magical trio?
And I'm going to sound like I'm a hater, so please don't take it like this. I like Carmelo Anthony. He's a great player. He was a great Olympian. He won a college basketball national championship. Nothing he said there do I believe. First of all, he had a lot of options. What were those other options? You didn't have any other options. Your other options were maybe somebody would have signed you, but it wasn't as good as the Lakers. Secondly, LeBron doesn't have to have you. LeBron is throwing you a bone. He's saying, listen, we've been sort of put together since 2003. Come on, and I'm going to help you get the ring that you couldn't get. That's what it is. And it's okay to say that. I mean, it's okay to say, hey, he's going ring shopping at the end. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Do you remember Dwayne Wade's year in Cleveland? He didn't even make it through the entire season. So Carmelo is nice to have. He's not going to matter. I do think it's funny, though, that he basically admitted that LeBron is GM of the team, that LeBron's like, come on, now's the time we want you. You know, I do think that's admitting what we all knew. I hope he has success. He's been a great player. But no, I don't believe that he had many options and this was the best one. This was his option.
Yeah, well, and even look at it from the Lakers standpoint. I mean, I don't want to oversimplify, but realistically, if LeBron and AD are healthy, the Lakers are likely the best team in most people's eyes in the West. If they're not healthy, they're not. And that doesn't matter if Carmelo's standing next to him or Kuzma's standing next to him. I know that Kyle Kuzma was a drastic disappointment, and his inability to step up and be that third guy, I thought he would do it. He didn't do it. But is that why they didn't win a championship? No, they didn't win a championship because LeBron and AD were not healthy. If LeBron and Anthony Davis are not playing for the Lakers healthy going into the playoffs, I don't care if Carmelo is or not. They're still not going to win it. So I'm not sure what valuable difference he makes through all of it. Like, it's cool if your other pieces are good, but realistically, this is a steak restaurant and you've got two pieces of steak on the plate. If those two pieces of steak are on the plate are great, then the sides are going to be awesome also. But if the sides are awesome and you don't have the steak, ain't nobody coming back for another meal.
I had to try to follow that for a minute. Here's what the Lakers did. They decided to sacrifice some of what I actually think they are a worse team in the playoffs than they were last year if LeBron and AD had been healthy in the playoffs. But they are a better regular season team. The good thing about having Russell Westbrook is now they're not going to have to worry about potentially being an 8 seed or playing in the play-in game. Because when LeBron and AD take games off, which they will, you got Russell Westbrook. So they can get through the regular season no matter what. They are a much better regular season team today than they were a few weeks ago. But when it comes to the playoffs, if I assume everyone's healthy, they still may win it because LeBron and AD are so good and so is Westbrook, but I don't love them because I don't love their shooting. They're basically putting a lot of stock in Malik Monk. Now, I'm a Kentucky guy. I love Malik Monk. I think he has a chance to have a massive year and become a star. But if he's not good, who are their shooters? I mean, last year they could at least, or 2 years ago, throw shooters around, which is what they need. Now they got a bunch of old dudes. I mean, Trevor Ariza, I thought he retired 5 years ago, and he's still playing, and he's still out there. Dwight Howard, I mean, how many teams is Dwight Howard going to play for at the end? They got a lot of old guys, Malik Monk, and then the stars. Will that work? It can, but I actually don't think they are as good. They would have been better with Buddy Hield. I genuinely believe that, and they didn't go that direction.
I don't disagree with that, by the way. I still feel like going into this coming, if Russ is having the best season of his life, and it's Russ and Carmelo and Ariza that are forced to essentially represent the Lakers in the playoff because there's some health issue, as there was this year, that makes LeBron or AD minimized, that's not a team that's going to beat Phoenix. Like, that's not a team that's going to be favored over Denver.
No, they're not. Like, this was not done with the idea of what happens if LeBron and AD get hurt. Because we all agree, if they get hurt, they're not winning. The question are they going to be good enough? I think they are, but I think they were better. I think they're not as good as they were 2 years ago in my mind.
If LeBron and AD are healthy, I don't care if you and I are two of the other three players on the floor. They're still going to win.
I don't think that's
because
true
LeBron
anymore.
And AD. But
I don't think, because what about Brooklyn? I mean, Brooklyn's got Kyrie, Harden, and Durant. That threesome, and they got better, not only with Joe Harris, but they picked up some other pieces as well. I think they got better. I think they're the best team going into the year.
Yeah, but I mean, we already gave them a ton of benefit of the doubt coming into this year, and I don't disagree with you that they should be able to put it together. But again, health is such a factor there. I mean, we're asking for a lot of things to break right.
Let's say both teams are healthy. Who you got?
Both teams healthy as currently constructed. Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn's better than the Lakers today.
And I don't think that was true. It wasn't true a year ago, and so I do think they got not worse, but they're just different. I'll take Brooklyn.
See, that's going to be the interesting thing we're all looking at. But I'm also going to remember a year ago right now, we were convinced it was going to be Lakers-Brooklyn in the final, and it turned out to be neither of them made it that far. So it's going to be interesting to see how it actually plays forward. In the meantime, we'll get back to the NFL talk as we are finally on the cusp of preseason. The question is, what should one star quarterback do when it looks to his future? We'll tell you next. Jhené and Golic Jr. on
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.